You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
North Sound 2 at Offshore Europe with Falck New Tech, offering the complete package in offshore and onshore safety training. North Sound 2.
Hello, it's Ali Bally. Thank you very much indeed for listening to the podcast here. This is the North Sound Energy Week, where you'll hear the best bits of day one, which has been a very exciting day, actually, especially for me, the first one, first time I've ever been to this exhibition. It has been absolutely amazing. So thank you very much indeed for tuning in. And don't forget, John Mellis is at the exhibition for day two tomorrow.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Well, the sun and the rain and madness. It is indeed the mid-morning show across Scotland. I'm Ali Bally. We're here today in Aberdeen at the Offshore 2011 exhibition. Joining me is Mark Thomas. Mark, you're the press officer for all this. It's all your fault.
It's always good to have a good excuse to bring about 200 foreign media into Aberdeen. And I get the nicest job, which actually to take them all around the local pubs and restaurants.
Oh, it's really bad for you, isn't it? It's an amazing exhibition. When I was looking at the stats yesterday, and we're talking about over the next few days, 50,000 people visiting this, and they're from all over the world.
That's right. I mean, we had 48,000 people come through the doors 2 years ago, and that in itself was a record breaker in 2009. It's always hard to say how things are going, but everything we have in terms of our database and registration looks like we're going to get very close to that figure, if not surpass it. It's always hard to say, but I think you can see by the crowds here this morning just coming through the doors, things are looking very busy on this first day.
And those that are here, Mark, they're not just here for a look. I mean, they're here to put pen to paper, to sign orders, to do business, yes, to press the flesh, but as far as Aberdeen is concerned, it's a whole chunk of money coming into the city.
It certainly is. It's always hard to quantify the exact figures, but I mean, we've all seen figures of about £85 million in terms of business generated by the show for Aberdeen itself. And I myself at the show 2 years ago saw one contract signed for $9 million right in front of my eyes. And we know that there will be business either concluded or started here at the show. And that networking factor here is what it's all about. Mm.
And again, you know, it could be said, well, why are we doing a show from Aberdeen at an oil exhibition? But the amount of people, you know, in Scotland that are, and even in the northeast of England, the whole of Scotland, that are employed in the North Sea is amazing, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, I think there are about 35,000 people that are directly connected to this show and the companies that exhibit here. And we all know that the economic benefit that the oil industry brings to the wider Scottish region, not just Aberdeen, also into the north of England, like you say, but it's something that we find every time we come to this show. We're always amazed by the number of new companies from within Scotland and further afield who still come to this show. It's been going on for nearly 40 years now, Offshore Europe, and at this event we've got 275 companies that are here for the first time. So if anyone tells you that the North Sea is on its way out, no, I think they should look again.
Well, that was very much one of the talks I was listening to this morning before coming on air, was very much that BP talking about the fact that the glass is half full and forget this half empty situation. The oil industry is not going away, it is here to stay, and very much a dominant player in the energy field.
That's right. I mean, BP is a good example of a company that's just in the process of investing £3 billion in its new field, revamping its Schiehallion field west of Shetland. But we know of several other companies, Total of France, Chevron of America, who are looking at other fields equally as big and representing possibly more investment. Chevron, for example, has a project that could possibly be worth up to £5 billion if it goes ahead in the same region as BP's field. So it's a huge sums of money that will mean long-term investment for Aberdeen and the region as a whole.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much indeed for inviting us here today. We're looking forward to the next 4 hours anyway for me to finding out more about the exhibition and indeed the industry in general. And you make sure you take it easy now over the next few days, looking after the press.
I'll do my best to pace myself, don't worry.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Thank Back you. In a moment.
North Sound 2.
Here we are, Midger on the Mid-Morning Show, and as I promised, come wandering, and the first wandering out to is the Monty's Maggie's Appeal. And Nicola here is from the Maggie's Appeal. Nicola, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? All right?
I'm fine, thanks. Yes, how are you?
I'm okay. Good. So, tell me the story about Maggie's in Aberdeen. Where are you at? Where are you getting to?
Yeah. Well, we launched the appeal just over a year ago, and it's the appeal to bring a centre to Aberdeen on the grounds of ARI. Aberdeen's the only major city in Scotland without a Maggie's centre. We announced just at the beginning of June this year that we're just over a third of the way there. So we've got 1 million in gifts and pledges, which is fabulous. And we've just announced where the site's going to be, just in between the Children's Hospital, the helipad and Westburn Road. So we're very excited.
Absolutely. I mean, you must be at the stage now of seeing, are the plans on the drawing board and ready to go then?
We don't have the plans as yet. The architects are working on them as we speak. There's been nothing sort of released publicly yet, but we're hopeful that we should have something hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay, now as you say, Aberdeen, the only major centre that doesn't have a Maggie Centre. But what about for those who have not had any dealings with Maggie Centres or are not sure what Maggie Centres does? Tell us a wee bit about the work you do.
We're a network of cancer caring centres across the UK, and we provide emotional and practical support for anyone affected by cancer. So not just the person who's been diagnosed, but their friends and families and their carers at any point in the disease. So from the first diagnosis through to mission and beyond, so anyone affected at any stage.
So once you've raised the money to get the centre up and running in Aberdeen, Nicola, it's not the end of the fundraising, is it?
No, that's what I'm here for. Each of the Maggie centres has a very dedicated community fundraiser, and it's our job to raise the funds to keep the centres going from year to year. We can't rely on any government funding. We can apply, but we don't get guarantees. So we have a very dedicated community fundraising and corporate fundraising team who raise the revenue year on year.
Shout for the money.
Yes, please.
Yeah, of course. Now, today and the next couple of days at the exhibition, thousands of people going through the doors. So you're obviously here for an awareness, but you're also giving people the chance to take part in a putting simulator. What's the connection between you and golf?
Well, we're very kindly supported by Colin Montgomery through his foundation, the Elizabeth Montgomery Foundation, that was set up in the name of his mother, who unfortunately passed away from lung cancer. So he's very, very generously donated his time and his resources to help us fund the centre in Aberdeen. And the connection, we're going to have the putting simulator here. It's a £10 donation, you get three putts, and there's going to be a winner each day and then an overall winner on the last day.
Right, and of course, Colin coming here later on, tomorrow he's coming, isn't he?
He will be here for a short time tomorrow. He's going to pop along and support us at one of our supporter stands as well. And we're really lucky that he's made the time to come and see us in Aberdeen.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. He's good in the fact that he's backing us, and the whole foundation is as I say, trying to get the centre here and one in the central belt as well, which is tremendous. Thank you very much indeed for chatting to us, Nicola. We wish you all the best. They're now queuing up to hand over their money here, so you better go and get some cash in.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Back to the music then.
North Sound 2 at Offshore Europe with Falk NewTek, offering the complete package in offshore and onshore safety training. North Sound 2.
Tony Bennett and Michael Bubley together now. We've moved into the next hall and just have a wandering around. And this seems to be the international hall with Italy and Holland banners all over the place. But I thought, you know, when I walked past this gentleman, I hadn't a clue what he was saying. I reckoned he was from Yorkshire. So it's Paul Delaney, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Paul, thanks very much indeed for chatting to us. Now, you're with Alco Valves, Group Sales Director. What do you expect to get from this exhibition? Why are you here, basically?
Well, we're hoping to raise our profile internationally and in Scotland, hoping for more business.
Right, I suppose that's why anybody goes to any exhibition. I mean, so where are you at the moment in the North Sea oil industry?
Well, we're doing quite well in the industry, but we've new products to launch, and we're here to hopefully see new customers and show them the product.
With so many people here, though, Paul, is that a struggle to actually see the people? There seems to be so many people walking by, you know, and to get a hold of them and to get into the new markets. How do you do that?
It's very difficult. We have people on the stand we have local guys on the stand who know the local engineers, know the local companies, and the easiest way for us is to grab people as they come by.
Right, so what countries do you operate in then?
Currently we've got bases manufacturing in the UK, we're in Houston in Texas, we're in Canada, we have a base in Singapore. So basically we're following the oil.
Yeah, you're everywhere. And is the oil the only industry that Alco Valves manufacture for, or do you do others as well?
Oh, we do others. We're into power generation, we're into marine, but the reason for being here is oil and gas.
And Alco Valves themselves, are they, how would you describe it, small, medium or large company?
We're a medium-sized company. It's still privately owned, still run by the founders. We've been operating since 1977. It's a British-based company, British-owned.
So that's ticking all the boxes. It's British-owned. It's working out of Britain. You're manufacturing in Britain. How do you, and particularly in your role, see the business going at the moment, the oil industry going? Is it on the way up? Is it a half full glass, as they say?
At the moment, it's on the way up. The oil price is high. Companies are spending. There are now tax breaks again for exploration. And we're hoping to get on the back of that and get some more business.
Well, we wish you all the best with the exhibition. Hopefully that business comes knocking on your stand. Thank you very much indeed for chatting to us.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And back to the music.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
And a very good afternoon to you. It's Ali Bally's Mid-Morning Show, live and direct today from day one of Offshore Europe 2011. So the crowds you can hear in the background, it really is shoulder-to-shoulder stuff in this exhibition. Very, very busy indeed. One of, as I was walking just during the news there, walking past, and we see Innovation Norway. And Erling, first of all, a very good afternoon to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
How are you? All right?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very busy so far, isn't it?
Yes, this is very good and very hard working days here in Aberdeen, yes.
And you are from Innovation Norway. Who are Innovation Norway? What do you do?
Innovation Norway is a governmental-owned company in Norway, and we are supporting Norwegian industries both in Norway and abroad. We are having offices in more than 30 countries and a lot of offices in Norway.
And you're responsible for what then? Is it bringing business to Norway?
We are not bringing business to Norway, bringing business out of Norway to your country. So we are also a trade council. So we are supporting with money, grants and loans, and we have all kinds of services from our offices abroad.
Okay, also joining me is Eivind. Did I get that correct?
Erling, yeah.
Yes. A very good afternoon to you. Thank you once again. What is your role within the organization?
My role is to support small and medium-sized companies in developing new technology and going abroad. So we support them with financial support, first and foremost.
And how important is the North Sea oil sector to you, to your country?
It's very, very important. I don't have exact figures, but it's a very important part of Norwegian industry.
I was interested that in the breakfast that was held this morning before we came into the exhibition, the business breakfast, Norway was talked about quite a lot as well as the North Sea. And I'm surprised that Norway is spoken about because, you know, it's something that you say you're here to raise awareness of Norway's involvement in the sector.
We didn't attend to this breakfast. We had a very nice breakfast at Skien House in Aberdeen. But if you go to the export industry in Norway, the oil and gas are exporting 50% of all the total export of Norway. So the oil and gas export are very important. And of course, all the services companies serving this industry. So this is a very important industry for Norway.
And what do you hope to get out of the exhibition over the next couple of days?
We hope to promote these companies here in this Norwegian pavilion and help them getting business, of course.
Of course. Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much indeed for chatting to us, and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Right, back to the music.
North Sound 2.
John Lennon and Woman. It's a mid-morning show from me, Ali Bally, across Scotland through until 2 o'clock today. And as I mentioned earlier last week, last week we were up Blackpool Tower, and this week we're broadcasting from the exhibition, Offshore Europe exhibition. And that's the one thing about this career. I never know what I'm going to be doing next. It's a fantastic career because, as I say, you can be here, there and everywhere. And talking careers. This morning at the business breakfast, it was very much about careers and skills. That seemed to be the main part of it. Now, I'm on the Shell stand, and first of all, it's John Lang. Is it John Lang? Lang the right name?
John Lang, yep.
Yeah, John, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks.
Yep. What's your position within Shell?
So I'm the operations manager for the Central North Sea platforms. So I look after all the assets in the Central North Sea.
Okay. Now, when we're talking skills and getting people into engineering as such and into the oil industry, a couple of courses that you're doing in association with one of the colleges, which we'll talk a bit about in the moment, but one for ladies. Tell us about that. Girls in engineering, that's what it is, isn't it?
So this is a course where we go into schools in the last 2 years of the school So in about fourth year, and we try and promote the industry to girls, give it, you know, let them see it as a career that's fulfilling, it's got lots to offer. I think we find at the moment that most of the people coming in are men and blokes, and there's huge opportunities for women. So the idea is to bring them in fourth year, let them look at it, let them see the companies that are operating in the industry, and, you know, let them consider it as a career. And it's been fairly successful.
I was going to say, the reaction from the girls then, who may not have considered that before, is it, you're getting a positive feedback.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we found on this course that we sponsor at the Banff and Buchan College is that in the early years of the course, we got very few women applying. This year, I think we've got 3 out of the 12 who are on the course are female. So it's very positive.
Okay, you talked about the college there. Let's chat to David Cook, who's principal. David, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
It must be great for a college like yourself to get in there and do something innovative with such a large company like Shell.
It's great to work with companies like Shell, who will allow us to fulfil the needs of the community, which are to get jobs. And as a college, that's our aim, to make people employable. These two courses that we're talking about here, the Girls Into Energy course and this Shell Engineering Scheme, are designed to give people not just the academic and vocational skills that we're known for, but all the other soft skills that people need to really forge ahead in careers.
There'll be many mums and dads, if not students, listening at the moment because they should be studying, but what would be your message to them if they did have some of their offspring that are showing some sort of interest in the oil, energy sector, scientists, engineers?
It's a long-term career. With the right building blocks at the beginning, the right subjects taught, you can go anywhere in the world and get jobs with companies, or you can stay in the Northeast and get good jobs. Those jobs will change through your career, but there'll always be employment for people with that skill set. And it's a fabulous opportunity now to go into these industries, because there's a real career ahead and a skills shortage. So the places are there for you to get the jobs. It's not as though we're training people where there are no jobs. There are jobs. This particular scheme, over 90% of the successful graduates of it are working now in the oil and gas industry. Of the others, most of them have gone on to university to continue and get a degree, because they've seen their career further up in a different part of the industry. So once they're exposed, they like what they see. And it doesn't mean that they'll go into an engineering job. They may want to go into communications, they may want to go into HR, they may want to go into procurement, but they see that these companies have all those jobs on offer. So it's not just engineering, it's the whole career structure that's ahead of them. And it's nice to work with a company like Shell, who will allow you to see all those careers.
There's not many industries, John, can actually look forward some 30 years and say, we're on the right path, we're back on the way up, and indeed we can almost guarantee a career out of it.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the energy industry, whether it's the oil and gas, whether it's the renewables, whatever it is, the energy industry is here to stay. And, you know, just on oil and gas, actually, if you look at the North Sea, there are still some huge opportunities in the North Sea and some huge projects going ahead, whether it be decommissioning projects, whether it be the kind of rejuvenation type projects on some of the older assets. And, you know, one of the things we find in Shell is that the Northeast is a source of, you know, skilled people that we use in some of our global projects. So, you know, if you decide to go and travel the world and see a bit more than just the Northeast of Scotland, many of the people that we pick up in the Northeast of Scotland are working on some of the global projects, whether it's in the Middle East or Russia or America or wherever. So big opportunities.
That's why you find Scots all over the world, isn't it?
They say they're the best engineers in the world. Some of us English people doubt a little bit of that, but I am up here training in the Northeast, and I'm committed to it.
John, what about yourself? Where has your career taken you in this industry?
So I started as a graduate in Edinburgh University, came up to Aberdeen, then I went into the Middle East and worked in the Middle East in Oman. Then I came back here, then I ended up at the St. Fergus gas plants as the plant manager, where I got involved in this training scheme back in the early stages, and now I'm back in Aberdeen. But, you know, a company like Shell, you know, there's plenty of opportunities, and who knows where I'll head for next, but I'll wait and see.
I think the whole line there is just what you've said. There are plenty of opportunities, not just with Shell, but with the colleges, and therefore people who are leaving school or working their way through, wherever they are in Scotland. So I think that is a really good message to take from the exhibition today. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for chatting to us.
North Sound 2 at Offshore Europe with Falck NewTech, offering the complete package in offshore and onshore safety training. North Sound 2.
Well, I've been talking about as we were leading up just before the news there to this very, very large, contraption that has been simply put as a plug, which I find is probably offensive to everyone. Jim House is the managing director of Apache North Sea, and it's called the OSPRAG device, capping device. Jim, very good afternoon to you. What is OSPRAG, first of all? What does that stand for?
Well, Ali, what OSPRAG stands for, and this is a group that was founded in the wake of the unfolding disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's the UK's response to actually looking to make sure that we were in position and prepared to handle our own problem if one were to occur. So OSPRAG stands for Oil Spill Prevention and Response Advisory Group. And it's made up of a cross-section of industry, as well as regulators, trade unions, and we had observers in from the European Union as well to report back to Brussels. But the basic remit of OSPRAG was, early on, was one, to look at and review the regulatory climate we work in. Was it fit for purpose? Was it delivering what it should? Are we being safe? And are we preventing accidents? The other two pieces were around prevention and what's involved in prevention of a major industrial type accident in the forms of drilling and completing wells. And then, are we ready to respond if an occurrence that does take place? We're very fortunate to be able to report that, one, the regulatory climate here was viewed in the past as probably one of the toughest places to do business. It was very heavily regulated in terms of how you got permits to do the various kind of works we do. This day and age, it feels just about right. And in fact, it is the exemplar model that other countries are looking at emulating. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to a couple key components. One is down to that the powers of the regulators are separate. So you have the Health and Safety Executive on one side, who's obviously over safety, and then the Department of Energy is also involved with the environmental piece, but also issuing permits to drill and licenses. And it served the UK very well, because there has not been a major well control incident in the North Sea for over 20 years, which is a testimony to how well it's worked. This has been reviewed and vetted through the highest levels of government, and the report has come back that it's very well fit for purpose, and I think it's a testimony to the regulators, government, and the industry here. Now, what we're witnessing here is the unveiling of the capping device, and it came under the piece for response. If an event were to occur, how could we respond? And government, after Macondo, wanted to make sure that industry had the devices available, even though we haven't needed them, to be able to respond to a well control incident. And so they went and looked across the North Sea, what is the range of type of wells we would drill, depth, flow rates, temperatures, and this device was created to fit those range of type of wells. So it's here, it's a piece of equipment purely to be prepared, and so now it's ready. It's gone through its factory acceptance test. It was to be called out today to be ready for service. Fortunately, it's going to go to Port Lethen after the oil show, and it'll have its own special place to be housed internally. It'll be maintained, but everyone, you know, our clear desire is it's never used.
I was going to say that after all the development and the unveiling here, it is, I suppose, within the industry, really hope that you never have to use it.
And that is the big wish. But if we do our job, if we follow the rules, if we go through what is required of us through our when we file drilling permits or workover permits, and the level of scrutiny that's coming more so today than ever, but it was adequate before, there's a better chance than not that we'll never have to use this piece of equipment.
Just to give our listeners at the moment some idea of the size and the weight of it, how much does it weigh, do you know?
The final loadout weight, it was originally designed at around 38,000 tons. Final all-in was 44,000 tons. And when they put all the different valves and actuators and some of the other actual optional items that came with it. But what makes it unique is that it's designed for being able to be deployed in the North Sea in the kind of weather conditions that are prevalent in the North Sea, winds and wave. There's other capping devices that are being developed around the world that are twice the weight and twice the size, where this one we can deploy off the side of a vessel, where some of the bigger ones that are being developed actually require maybe a drilling rig or different deployment mechanisms.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us this afternoon.
Ollie, thank you for your interest. Thank you.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.